Well, welcome everybody to the Panic Podcast for Friday. It is the fifth day of June in the year of our Lord 2026. I couldn't remember the date to save my life. My name is Mike. I'm your online Bible study buddy. And Fridays, we're answering questions that I have received as a pastor over the years. And today I want to answer some questions dealing with suffering. So let's talk about today what the Bible says about suffering. And I sure hope you all had a good week this week. It's been a really nice week here in Wise County. Looks like it's going to be a nice weekend. A little bit of rain on Sunday, but nothing to get too worked up about. And it looks like next week is going to be warm and just beautiful. So we're going to talk about suffering. That's a question I get often. In fact, I have several questions regarding suffering on my desk as part of the series that we had going here a few weeks back, Ask the Pastor. And questions about suffering are very, very common, I guess, because suffering is an inescapable part of life. And a lot of Christians think that they ought to be exempt from suffering just because they're Christians. But the fact is, suffering is woven into the fabric of our fallen world. I mean, from the earliest chapters of Genesis to the triumphant visions in the book of Revelation, the Bible addresses suffering not as a peripheral issue, but as something very central to God's redemptive plan. And yet not all suffering is the same. You know that the Bible distinguishes between various kinds of suffering, some as a result of sin, other suffering because is a result of the brokenness of creation. And then there's the suffering that comes from just being faithful to God. So over the next half hour, I want to explore the different kinds of suffering and drawing on biblical texts to try to understand how certain forms of suffering can actually bear eternal fruit for the kingdom of God, while other kinds of suffering can serve as, let's say, consequences without any redemptive value at all, or even as warnings against unrighteousness. So at the very outset, it's important to know that the merit of suffering, in biblical terms, often relates to its alignment with God's purposes. I want you to look down at your Bibles if you can. It's James 1, verses 2 and 4, near the end of the New Testament. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. Because James teaches us something very important in this regard. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So according to James, some good suffering, let's call it that, good suffering, produces godly character and actually causes us to grow up in the faith. So some suffering serves to complete us as Christians. But at the same time, we read this in Proverbs 19, verse 3. "One's own folly leads to ruin, yet the heart rages against the Lord." So sometimes a person's foolishness can lead to suffering. I think we're all very familiar with this. And basically that kind of suffering serves no good purpose at all. So my goal today is to discern these categories of suffering through God's word. And I want to encourage you to endure suffering. And if you're not suffering right now, be patient, you will. But to endure suffering rightly and to seek God's transformative power even while you are suffering. So we're going to take a look at the five kinds of suffering today. And I'll make sure you have solid biblical support to help you make sense of any suffering that you may be experiencing or will experience in the future. As is the case with all of the Bible studies that I do, and I guess all the Bible studies anybody does, like this one is not exhaustive, okay? My desire is to give you a framework for personal application. Whatever else you may remember about this study, please remember what Paul wrote to the Roman church. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So let's look first of all at the first category of suffering. That is suffering from personal sin. I would say that of the five categories of suffering, this one is probably the most common. Suffering which stems directly from our own sinful choices. Over and over again, the Bible links disobedience to God with painful consequences. For example, Galatians 6, 7, and 8, famous verses, you probably all know them. Do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. People reap what they sow. Those who sow to please their sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Those who sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Paul is talking about suffering that is the direct result of sin. Sin that corrupts everything it touches, from relationships to health to finances and even to inner peace. This kind of suffering lacks any merit because it comes from rebellion against God's will and God's ways. A classic example of this kind of suffering is found in chapters 11 and 12 of 2 Samuel. King David's adultery with Bathsheba and the subsequent murder of her husband Uriah led to immediate familial turmoil. It's just a pathetic story. The death of his child, the rebellion of his son Absalom, and continual strife in his household. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, talk about this period of David's life, and they describe his anguish this way. David writes, "There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. All day and all night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day." That's from the Living Bible. Isn't that sad? But the saddest part here is that David's suffering was self-inflicted. He didn't have to suffer. But because of his sin, a divine judgment came upon David. For a purpose, though, to awaken repentance. While David's eventual confession in Psalm 15 brought about forgiveness, the scars of that sin remained as a reminder of the high cost of sin. And generally speaking, this kind of suffering has no merit for the kingdom. It's not in any way commendable, but it can be corrective, like in David's case. If it leads to genuine repentance, it can indirectly contribute to spiritual growth. But there's a very clever proverb that warns us about the cost of unconfessed sin. Now listen to this. Proverbs 14:12, you ought to highlight this verse in your Bible. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we are encouraged to use past sufferings from sin as a motivation to pursue God's will. Listen, 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because those who have suffered in their bodies are done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. So while suffering as a result of personal sin lacks merit, the response to it, like turning back to God, can produce kingdom fruit like humility and a dependence on God's grace. The second category of suffering, suffering from the sins of others. So distinct from self-inflicted suffering is suffering caused by something someone else did. You know, like abuse, injustice, betrayal, violence, that kind of thing. Now, this kind of suffering is seen all through the Bible, often highlighting the innocent victim's story. Now, for example, there's the story of Job, whose calamities did not come from his sin, but from Satan's accusations and the actions of marauders. Read Job chapter 1, verses 13 to 19. And yet God, in his sovereignty, permitted Job's suffering, using that suffering to, in fact, refine Job's faith. Then there's the story of Joseph in Genesis chapters 37 to 50. Joseph's brother's jealousy led to his enslavement and his imprisonment, a suffering inflicted by familial sin. It's interesting, Joseph, looking back on all the suffering he experienced as a result of his brother's mistreatment, he made a very profound observation. Genesis 50, verse 20, it's just a verse that I've never forgotten. It's one of the most profound verses in the whole Bible. Joseph talking to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." I mean, to me, this is a remarkable verse, and it shows how God can redeem this kind of pain for kingdom advancement, like in this case, preserving Israel during a time of famine. Now, the prophets frequently decry suffering from societal sins. Amos chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. This is what the Lord says, "For three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath. They sell the innocent for silver, the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name." Now, there's a lot of suffering going on in those verses that's the result of the actions of others. Jesus himself, think about this, he suffered from the sins of others. He was betrayed by Judas. He was accused falsely by the religious leaders and crucified by Roman authorities. Though this kind of suffering can have merit for the kingdom if it is endured with faith. Romans 12, 17 to 21 tells us this. Listen, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is taught in the eyes of everyone, what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." That's actually a good thing, not a bad thing. Finally, we're told, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." But bitterness can actually nullify any good that could have come from this kind of suffering. It's all about attitude, and the key is forgiveness, as modeled by Stephen in Acts 7, verse 60. Stephen fell on his knees as he was being stoned to death, and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Well, he died. I mean, so this kind of amazing attitude transforms suffering into a witness for God's kingdom, potentially leading others to salvation. Ultimately, while this kind of suffering originates in evil, its merit lies in God's sovereign weaving of it into his redemptive tapestry. We see this in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The third category of suffering is suffering that is the result of simply living in a fallen world. And the Bible attributes a lot of suffering to the general curse on creation following the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. You got things like thorns, hard work, painful childbirth, even death itself. That's the suffering of this category. Impersonal afflictions like illness, natural disasters, or aging that come upon anybody and everybody. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to all of them. Yeah, there's a randomness to suffering that touches all people as a result of living in a sin-cursed world. Jesus affirms this in Luke chapter 13. I think it's verses 1 to 5. I didn't note the verses here, but Jesus is responding to reports of Pilate's massacre in the town of Siloam, where there were no punishments. And Jesus said that this kind of thing serves as a reminder of the universal mortality and the need to repent. Bad things just happen to good people all the time, or innocent people. Paul elaborates this on Romans 8:19-20. Listen to this. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, listen. For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for that future day when God will resurrect his children. For on that day, thorns and thistles, sin, death, and decay, the things that overcome the world against its will at God's command, will all disappear. And the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin, which God's children enjoy. For we know that even the things of nature, like animals and plants, suffer in sickness and death as they await this great event. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan to be released from pain and suffering. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including the new bodies he has promised us, bodies that will never be sick again and will never die. Boy, I love that group of verses. This kind of suffering often lacks inherent moral cause. It just happens. But it can be of value if we respond in the right way. Paul's famous thorn in the flesh, you can read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a good example of this. Paul's thorn in the flesh was probably some kind of physical ailment that went unhealed. He kept praying to be healed, but it never happened. That physical ailment kept him humble. And he was able to boast in his weakness so Christ's power could rest on him. This merits kingdom advancement by displaying God's sufficiency, that even while a person suffers, they can do remarkable things for God through his grace. The fourth kind of suffering is, this might be the hardest one to accept. That is the suffering that comes about as a result of God's discipline. There is some suffering as God's loving correction for his people. Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 11, quotes Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. It says this, I'll read Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 from the Living Bible. And have you quite forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you, his child? He said, "My son, don't be angry when the Lord punishes you. Don't be discouraged when he has to show you where you are wrong. For when he punishes you, it proves that he loves you. When he whips you, it proves you are really his child." This kind of suffering isn't punitive, like sin's consequences, but it's formative, aiming at making you a holy person or a holier person. There's an interesting side to the controversy in the Corinthian church. They were misusing or abusing the Lord's Supper. I think we're going to be talking about that in one of our Monday podcasts coming up. Maybe it's next Monday, I'm not sure. And this abusing of the Lord's Supper led to, in that congregation, weakness, illness, and even death. 1 Corinthians 11, 30 to 32. Paul says, this is why, because you're abusing the Lord's Supper, this is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if you carefully examine yourselves before eating, you will not need to be judged and punished. Yet when we are judged and punished by the Lord, it is so that we will not be condemned with the rest of the world. So this kind of suffering, discipline, you know, from the Lord, it's not very pleasant. I'm speaking from personal experience here, sad to say. And it's obviously painful. But please believe me, when it's taken to heart, it will help you. And it will prevent eternal loss. And this kind of suffering carries much merit for God's kingdom. It refines Christ-like character in us. It aligns us with God's will. You know, Peter's denial of Christ brought about bitter weeping. But our Lord's restoration of Peter equipped Peter for leadership. So this kind of suffering is, it's discipline that can help us grow up in the Lord. However, be warned, resisting this kind of suffering completely nullifies its benefit. Proverbs 29 verse 1. The man who is often reproved but refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be broken and never have another chance. May that not be you. The fifth and final category of suffering is what I call redemptive suffering. This is the pinnacle of meritorious suffering. And it's the kind of suffering that is endured for Christ's sake, like persecution on account of your faith, or self-denial on account of your faith, sharing in his sufferings. Yeah, and this was Paul's desire. Philippians 3, 10 and 11, I want to know Christ, Paul writes. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And this is what Jesus had in mind when he talked about how if anybody wanted to follow him, he'd have to take up his cross first. Let me give you just quickly, because we're almost out of time for today, some other important scriptures you need to know regarding this particular type of suffering. Matthew 5, 10 to 12. You can look these up at your leisure. Colossians 1, 24. Acts 5, 41. Philippians 1, 12 to 14. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. This is the pinnacle of suffering, redemptive suffering. In distinguishing the various kinds of sufferings, you can really see God's wisdom at work. Some serve as warnings, others refine us and perfect us, make us better human beings and certainly better Christians. And the noblest suffering
advance his kingdom. So hold on to Christ, my friend, for in him no suffering is wasted if surrendered to God. Okay, gang, that's it for today. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening to the Panic Podcast all week long. These 35-minute Bible studies are uploaded every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, various locations around the internet you can find us. Best place to go is my website, Witzend with a Z, witzend.me, WITZEND.ME. You can get all of our media there, all of our videos, all of our audio podcasts and Bible study and sermon notes, all kinds of good stuff. The weekend is upon us. It's going to be a pretty nice weekend here in Wise County. Get out, enjoy the sun, cut your grass, get your vitamin D. But whatever you do this weekend, make sure that going to church is one thing you do on Sunday. Go to church. It's the least you can do. Give God his time. Again, thank you for listening to the Panic Podcast. We will see you again, Lord willing, Monday. God bless.